You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yep. So mental and physical health are deeply and directly connected, right? They influence each other. Think about a time when you were nervous, right? Probably your heart was racing. You were stressed. I mean, you were sweating. You couldn't sleep. Long-term effects of blood pressure, certain different diagnoses or medical problems that you can have. So I like to tell people mental health is directly and just as important as physical health, right? If you're not okay here, how are we able to take care of the rest of our body? They always say that you need at least 15 minutes of exercise per day to just get the body moving and just active. Why is that? Because if you're not moving and you're not active, how are the endorphins supposed to run? You know, how are your thoughts? A lot of times your thoughts are a lot clearer. If you are exercising, you're a lot more happier. You're just more prone to just being able to take over the world, right? That's a lot of times why when you go to the doctor and they ask you, like, how much do you exercise? How often have you been stressed? How often have you been anxious? And all of those are direct and direct relations to your physical and mental health, because those are direct factors on certain complications that can arise later. Style crew. So not only are we back for another episode, but we are at the beginning of a new series. May is actually Women's Health Month, and it's also Mental Health Month. And I thought, what better way to kick off this conversation regarding women's health, as well as have a conversation that's extremely important regarding mental health, with Dr. Samaria Witherspoon. We are both extremely excited to have this conversation, and I cannot wait to welcome her in, and I'm about to do so by reading her bio. Samaria Janae Witherspoon is originally from Lancaster, South Carolina, but currently based in Atlanta, Georgia. Sam is a licensed professional counselor in the state of Georgia and South Carolina. She provides couples, individual, group, and family counseling to those that are struggling with trauma, depression, anger, grief, substance abuse, and behavioral and emotional issues. Sam is also a professor of psychology in Atlanta, Georgia, a public speaker, as well as a self-published author.
She received both her Bachelor of Science in Psychology and Master of Education in School Psychology and Counseling Services from Howard University in Washington, D.C. She is passionate about her community and continues to uplift her community through therapy services, service projects, and events. Style Crew, welcome Sam into the podcast. Welcome.
I feel like there's supposed to be like a round of applause and all.
It is. Oh, trust me, you'll have all of that. It's you'll have all the round of applause, everything.
Thank you.
Especially, y'all, you don't understand how she was working with me through our technical difficulties just to even get
Yes.
this episode up. So that just shows
But
our
we're
persistence.
here.
We're here. We are both excited. Cannot wait to have this conversation. So, welcome into Style and Conversation.
Thank you for even having me. It's an honor.
Of course, of course. And so you are actually the founder of Hidden to Healing. I just want to allow you the opportunity to share that with the listeners as well.
Yes. So, first thing first, thank you for even having me. It's such an honor, especially to be here during Women's Health Month and, of course, Mental Health Awareness Month. But yes, Hidden to Healing is my private practice, and I am the founder and clinical director, meaning I launch the private practice and I also orchestrate all of the clinical services as far as therapy services and public speaking engagements that happen.
I love that.
Yeah.
And how long has your practice been in business?
Yes, we're celebrating 3 years this June. Actually, next month, OMG, I'm so excited.
Happy 3-year anniversary. That's no small
Thank
feat.
you. Yeah, everybody makes it seem like entrepreneurship is just such a walk in the park, but I am here to tell you it is not. Okay. But God has been good, and I have just been grateful for the journey in itself and just embracing it. So, yeah, 3 years of just providing services to the community, and I am grateful and honored.
I absolutely love that. And then I also wanted to give you the opportunity to share with the listeners because we had a quick chat prior to us recording just about a recent event that you did. So share that with the listeners just to give them a deeper dive into who you are and your work within the community and some of the things that you are currently doing.
Yes, of course. So it was titled Mental Health and Mimosas. So it was an event catered to my hometown community. So basically, it consisted of a panel of doctors and licensed professionals that were talking on three topics. It was postpartum, grief, and autism. And basically, we wanted to just educate the community while also honoring five community members that have just been active and, just giving them their flowers. So we call the award the Giving Up Flowers Award because I believe in giving people flowers while they can still smell them, not just after the funeral, after something happens that's tragic. I believe in giving people their flowers while they can still smell them. So yeah, and we also had a mixer that consisted of different activations, such as a bloom bar where individuals could make their own bouquet. So we had a host of different types of flowers. So we wanted the audience, not the audience, well, the, well, yeah, the audience to also get their own flowers so they can smell them. We also had an activation where it was like a spin wheel, and basically they, whatever they landed on, they answered the question. So some of the questions were, what are some of your coping strategies? What's something that triggers you? Who and where is your safe place? Just to get them active and talking. And then also we had a bar full of open bar mimosas and a photo booth. So it was just a great time within the community. We had over 100 attendees. And we just got together in our orange, green, and white and celebrated health and wellness.
It seems like you were very intentional behind having the Giving Your Flowers Award and then having the like make your own bouquet station or your own floral arrangement rather. I
Yes.
really like that because I'm a floral girly and flowers just boost the mood and I'm sure there's
Yes.
some scientific, I'm not a scientist, but I'm sure there's some scientific
Something, right?
tie, yeah, into
Yes.
the way, like the happiness and the endorphins that they can provide, and it's aesthetically appealing. So I love that you did that for the ladies and honor those community activists.
Yes. Like I said, I believe in giving people their flowers while they're still here. And, life sometimes gets a little hard, and everyone deserves to know that they are worthy and they deserve all good things. So I just wanted to give the audience that, as well as our community leaders, their flowers. So, yes, it worked well. I was a little jealous. Some people's bouquets look better than mine, but I'm like, you know what? I can't get too jealous. That's not
Well,
my
you know what?
expertise.
That's all right. You can learn from what they did and then go and implement it
Yes.
yourself. Okay, I want to ask you this. We're going to definitely get into the conversations, but this ties into our overall conversation. You
Yes.
mentioned that one of the topics that you all discussed during this event was postpartum. Do
Yes.
you feel that the conversation is shifting in the right direction and we're starting to see more resources, particularly within the Black community around this topic?
Yes. So for my panel, I had an OBGYN that directly works with the community to speak on the topic. So they had a familiar face to, share with them some information in a different light. But I definitely think that the shift is moving. We have celebrities and we have athletes that's speaking out about their experiences. And now it's encouraging others to say, you don't have to be afraid. You can speak out. And so I definitely feel like the ship is moving. I feel like COVID, when people had to sit with their feelings in their own place and space, it opened up a lot of doors, and given that teletherapy is a new thing, it's definitely shifting the motion of, it's okay not to be okay. And it's okay to discuss these issues, especially with postpartum, given that, hey, most women experience that. That's how we originated. And you don't have to be strong or keep it all together. And I just love that the ship is moving. I feel like there's always more work to be done because in the Black community, of course, there's always, hey, just you'll be okay. Just you'll be okay. Just keep going. And women are realizing like, hey, I don't have to keep going, or I don't have to keep going alone. With other women that are also experiencing the same thing that I am. And it's certain resources that are there to assist me, such as therapy, books. Now we have such things as doulas, that are able to, go through the journey with women. So yes, to answer your question.
What are some things, as trying to think of how I want to phrase this. So, being a non-licensed professional, but I do have girlfriends that have given birth or are in the process, they'll be giving birth soon. What are some things that we can do to make sure that we're supporting them? And what are some signs that we should look out for postpartum struggles?
Things that you can do is just be there and be present and give grace. I always tell people to extend grace. When they are sharing, don't invalidate their feelings or say, oh, it's not that bad. No, if they're saying they're on a scale of 1 to 10, how are they feeling? They're saying that's a 7, it's a 7. Listen to them and just be present. Check in, regular check-ins. Ask them how was the journey, because a lot of times people feel like life is moving and they are not moving, meaning like everybody else is able to still travel and to go to different parties, and here they are stuck in motherhood and trying to navigate this, and they don't even know how to navigate it, right? So just being present, honestly, I tell people that's the number one thing, and then being open to whatever they say, and don't invalidate their feelings, because I feel like we are moving past this shift. This movement, but there has been a notion where doctors have not wanted to provide certain types of care or medicine for individuals, especially women of color, and kind of invalidating their pain because they're afraid they may be addicted or things of that nature. So just being present and open, and also, sharing the different resources that you do see, giving them a book. Inviting them still to go to different programs or watching podcasts such as this. And also just letting it be known that they are still a person. They are still a human. Motherhood does not stop life. So don't stop checking in or don't stop inviting them out to dinners or certain things. Be present with them. What was the second question again?
Oh, just what are some things that we can look out for to know, recognize if someone that we're in relationship with is struggling postpartum?
Yeah, first thing first, just how they are phrasing certain words. Be intentional about listening to how they're phrasing, if they're always in a negative mood or having a negative light on certain things, whether it be a television show, and they you realize like, what is wrong? She always got something negative to say. Certain things like that. When they're withdrawing from certain public situations, for like, oh, I don't feel like it today. And then the next day, it's like, I still don't feel like it. And the next day, when they're withdrawing from certain social settings. Also, just their diet. If they're eating, if they what they're eating, if they're also in the house, direct sunlight, getting them, make sure they're outside. It doesn't mean that they have to be in a party somewhere, but just sitting outside with them, just if they're willing to do so. But that's just a few signs that I can think of off the top of my head.
That's all helpful. Again, for me being someone that has yet to have children, that's good to know. The things to look out for and just ways to make sure that we're supporting them. So I appreciate
Yes.
your willingness to share that.
Yeah, of course.
So with that, I am going to jump into our questions. So I want to ask you first, what inspired you to become a therapist and why is women's health so important to you?
So, I always tell people what first inspired me to be a therapist is not the average thing. I didn't grow up in a household where I had to try to find resources. I guess I would deem myself as very blessed. I got my first car at 15. It was a BMW. I was a straight A student. I was captain of the cheerleading team. I was president of my high school. I was very much so like a stellar student. And but with that came certain.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And expectations, right? If I didn't have on the latest outfit, then something was wrong. If my hair wasn't always done, then I was going through something. If I didn't go and host the best parties, then something was wrong, right? So I always said that I wanted to be the person that I needed to just have an unbiased and open opinion, to just be whoever and whatever outside of all expectations. And that is what therapy is. You don't have any expectations. You don't have someone telling you what you should and should not do as far as, who you should be. We're just here to guide you through whatever path that you do choose, and of course, direct you in a healthier and happier way. But there's no expectations of how you should show up. And I always said that I wanted to be the person that I needed then, because it wasn't until college where I really found out who I was. Because I came from little old South Kakalaki going to the big city in DC, and no one knew me, so there were no expectations. I just got to explore who I was outside of, everyone knowing my mom or my dad or my big sister. And I really got to explore myself, and I always said that I wanted to be that person that I needed. So that's what even inspired me to go into therapy and to be a therapist. As far as women's health, I'm passionate about it because first thing first, I am a woman. And women's health directly affects the well-beings of just families, community, and future generations, right? Women carry the responsibility of just being the caregiver and the head of the household, not even just in the household, but also in their communities. Therefore, if health is prioritized, everything else consequentially can be uplifted and empowered. So I believe that every woman deserves access to certain care and support. And they should be educated and uplifted, you know, because one of my famous quotes that I always say is, how do you know what you don't know if you don't know? And so I just wanted to be the pillar of light of just, you know, educating those that just may not know.
What's up, Style Crew? I am holding in my hand the 5-minute journal, which is an item from one of the newest sponsors of season two of Style and Conversation from a company called Intelligent Change. And if you haven't heard about them, you are going to be so excited once I tell you more. I first heard about them by attending an event here in Atlanta. I received the 5-minute journal in a swag bag. And let me just tell you, this aligns perfectly with this series that we're currently in. And the reason is that this 5-minute journal includes so many things to help keep you on track daily, weekly, monthly, and then beyond the year. For example, on one of the pages, they have an option to complete fitness and meals, your meal plans for the week. In addition to this, they also have something to help you be really intentional. So one of the questions is, my intention for the week is. And then it goes even further to say how I'll motivate myself, create any notes. And then they also have various wisdom quotes throughout the journal as well. One of them being, reading is to the mind what exercise is to the body by Joseph Addison. So they also have a page where you can review your mood for the day, talk about what you're grateful for, all the things that you'll do for your well-being and health, and so on and so forth. And so, like I said, I really love this because it helps you to be a lot more intentional, which is something that we've spoken about on one of the episodes from this series. And this is just a great way to really implement and continue to execute on those changes that we all said that we plan to make at the beginning of the year, and a way to hold ourselves accountable as we continue to move through 2025 and beyond. So, as a listener of Style and Conversation, I have a special code for 10% off for you, which is Styled by Jess. That code is STYLEDBYJESS. And to tell you a little bit more about Intelligent Change, they pride themselves on creating elevated, thoughtfully designed products to help you realize your potential and live a happier, more fulfilling life. In addition to this, they have journals, they have digital downloads, they have mindful affirmation cards, games, and then they also have games for kids. And so this code can be applied for each of those products. Again, that code is STYLEDBYJESS. So I want to encourage you all to check out Intelligent Change and look into this 5-minute journal as a way to get started, and all of their other wonderful products. All right, let's jump back into this episode.
So you said something that was really that stood out to me about your time in college, going to an area where no one knew you. And so you were able to have that experience essentially uninhibited and determine who you wanted to be. So something that has helped me when I've been in therapy is my therapist doesn't know me on a personal level. We get to know each other on an interpersonal level because it's a space where I can discuss certain things and share certain things
Be vulnerable.
without bias. But I'll be honest, one of the problems that I had that she recognized, which is again why she gets paid the big bucks, was that she said, you'll say something and you'll preface it with, well, I don't want you to think this about me. And she's like, just say it. And so I just want to encourage the listeners, anyone who may be struggling with that or may not have been able to enter therapy just yet, that is one of the beauties, is the fact that your therapist is there to provide a space to guide you through what you're navigating in that season and provide it without bias. So yeah, that really stood out to me in that way.
Yeah. I always tell people I don't want to take away, or therapy doesn't take away from your family or your friends, because they are a great support system, right? But when you tell your therapist something, you don't have to worry about it coming back up at the family reunion. Let's just say if you were sexually assaulted or abused by your uncle and you share that with your therapist, and then also your uncle is at the family reunion, right? You don't have to worry about your therapist popping up and looking at how you're engaging or if you're even handling the situation right, or, you know, worrying about it coming back up. You don't have to worry about that, right? And also, I am very, I'm faith-based. I'm very passionate about God. I love God. And therapy doesn't take away from that. I always say, faith without work is dead, right? But in therapy is the work, right? I wish God would just say, if I said, God, I want $1 million, and he would just drop $1 million on my lap. It doesn't work like that. I would have to do something, some type of work to, you know, gain the $1 million. And that's the same thing with therapy. We can pray to God, like, God, I pray that I'm happy and healthier. But if I'm not putting certain strategies in place that you can learn within therapy, how are we ever going to be happier and healthier, right? Right. So I'm glad you shared that and that stood out to you.
I appreciate you sharing your journey as to how you became a therapist and the importance of it. And I think it ties in with your experience of going to a bigger city. So I love that. I love that you were able to have that. Yeah. So I want to ask you, discussing the connection between mental health and physical health, can you explain this for the listeners?
Yep. So mental and physical health are deeply and directly connected, right? They influence each other. Think about a time when you were nervous, right? Probably your heart was racing, you were stressing. I mean, you were sweating, you couldn't sleep. Long-term effects of blood pressure, certain different diagnoses or medical problems that you can have. So I like to tell people mental health is directly and just as important as physical health, right? If you're not okay here, how are we able to take care of the rest of our body? They always say that you need at least 15 minutes of exercise per day to just get the body moving and just active. Why is that? Because if you're not moving and you're not, you know, active, how are the endorphins supposed to run? You know, how are your thoughts? A lot of times your thoughts are a lot clearer. If you are exercising, you're a lot more happier. You're just more prone to just being able to take over the world, right? That's a lot of times why when you go to the doctor and they ask you, like, how much do you exercise? How often have you been stressed? How often have you been anxious? And all of those are direct and direct relations to your physical and mental health, because those are direct factors on certain complications that can arise later.
Okay. So basically what I'm hearing you say to our listeners is that we can't neglect one or the other. We can't neglect our mental health, but not be taking care of ourselves physically, whatever that looks like for you, because each person's body is different. Like, if you are a Tour de France cyclist, honey, do that. If you are someone, if you are a runner or a Pilates princess, or if you're a walker, like, as long as you are including that in your day-to-day activities, that is equivalent to taking care of yourself physically, and then in combination with taking care of yourself mentally.
Yep. They deem three things to deem you as happy, right? That's physical health, mental health, and your religious base, right? So like I said, the physical is you need at least 15 minutes of exercise per day. So that doesn't mean that you have to go out and run a marathon. I tell some of my clients, we do a self-care routine, and basically we combine these three things to make sure that within the day that all of these are checked off. So I tell them, like, hey, it doesn't mean you have to run a marathon. Some of my clients say, Miss Sam, if I just Exercise. I mean, if I just stretch in the morning for 15 minutes, I'm good. Fine. Love that. Some people say, well, I want to go to the gym on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm just going to do a small workout in the house. Great. You do what works best for you. As far as doing anything, as far as taking care of your mental health, you can do anything. Affirmations. Some people say, Miss Sam, if I just start my day with the skincare routine, I feel better. It work it differs from everyone. You know, we're all different. So whatever piece of the pie that makes you feel better or taste better for you, then you do that, what works for you. As far as the last one is a religious base, it's not saying that you have to have a certain type of religion. It's just that they believe, certain scientists believe, if you don't have a type of religious base or you don't have something that keeps you full and happy, you're just living to live. You don't have a some type of purpose to guide you while you're here. It doesn't matter if it's Christian or Buddhism or whatever the case may be, they just feel like you're just existing, right? But those are the three things that they deem as making sure that you have checked off within your day-to-day to deem you as healthy and happy.
Glad that you shared those three things with the listeners, because that's something I wasn't aware of.
Yes.
Okay. So my next question for you, what are some of the most common mental health issues that women are facing today?
Yeah. So unfortunately, it's depression. Women are two times more likely to be diagnosed with depression than men. And that's due to just our hormone increases, right? Also, anxiety. Women are more likely to be diagnosed with anxiety, due to just the societal roles that we play in the community, in perfectionism and in caregiving, right? The role of, being the perfect mom or making sure that everything is taken care of within the household, that increases our anxiety. Also, post-traumatic stress disorder. And they are, it's said that women are mostly diagnosed that than men, only because we are more likely to experience or feel our emotions a little bit more after certain traumatic events, such as abuse or childhood trauma or even pregnancies. Also, suicide disorder. So, although men are more likely to die from suicide than women, women are more likely to attempt because of the higher levels of depression and anxiety that they do experience. Also, certain perinatal and reproductive mental health issues that are also a most common one, only because there's so many different complications that could be going on during childbirth, that can happen for women rather than men that they don't experience. Obviously, they don't go through the whole childbirth process. And also just chronic stress burnout, the toll that it carries of just being a mother and just motherhood and just taking care of the household and balancing their career and the household responsibilities also was leads to burnout being one of the most common factors or things that women are dealing with.
So I noticed you mentioning a few things when discussing some of the.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Leading factors. You mentioned childbirth, just the burnout of carrying the load of the household in addition to working. What are some things, some practical wisdom that you can offer our listeners to juggle the demands of life?
Yes. I always say a schedule or a routine will save your life. Although people feel like it's more work to create those things, knowing when or how, or just having a guide of what consists of within a day can help you. Because a lot of times we have so much that we're trying to juggle within here. Sometimes just put it on a paper. There's so many different apps now that give you notifications. If you're not a person that likes to write things down, I'm old school. I need a pen and paper. But I know some people like an app. They're an app girly. So keep you and have an app with just your schedule of what works, what doesn't work. And if you create that the night before, you can look at your schedule just seeing, I don't think that's going to work out within my schedule tomorrow. You'll see to kind of avoid the burnout. You'll see what works, what probably wouldn't work. So you can kind of gauge it a little better versus then trying to fit everything that's up here within your day to day. So first thing first, always like a schedule or routine. Also, just knowing your support, knowing that, hey, you don't have to do it all. And if you don't finish it within today, there's always tomorrow, right? I feel like as women, we always try to play superwoman, and that's not a thing, especially our women of color. I hate, hate, hate the notion of the strong black woman. Throw it away. We are not, throw it away. I hate it. We don't have to be the strong black woman. If anything, we can be
No.
resilient and rise above certain over and overcome certain challenges that we may face. But as far as being strong and having the notion of just try having to keep it together, leave it alone. Perfectionism is not a real thing, right?
Not at all.
So that's like two of the most important things that I can say. So that will just help you within the journey of just juggling the day-to-day needs. So schedule routines and knowing your support. Well, that's actually three, knowing your support system, and also moving away from the notion of having to be perfect and having to do it all, the superwoman and the strong black woman notion.
I agree with you, and also when you said something about not aiming for perfectionism, something that I have been saying that I say now to myself, and I've put it on autopilot in my brain, is presence over perfection. So that's my main focus, when it comes to perhaps, posting content, how I'm like the
Performing the
times where I may
day-to-day
not,
duty.
yes, the times where I may not feel 100%, like I might be slightly fatigued, but I still do want to be present, have fellowship with my girlfriends or my family. And I'm like, you know what? Instead of trying to be dressed to the nines, I'm going to put something on where I feel great about myself, but be
Yeah,
present
comfortable.
over being exactly comfortable. So I can still go, still get my cup filled and pour into the people that I love, but it's not about showing up as perfect. I'm focusing on being present and being honest about where I'm at. So I like that you set that expectation for our listeners. Perfection is, there's no room for it. It's not necessary.
It's a scam. It's not a real
It
thing. I
really is a
always say that.
scam.
I said perfectionism is a scam and closure is a scam. Let it go.
Ooh.
It's a scam.
Yes. I like that. It's a scam, honey. Let it go.
Yeah,
Let it
scam
go.
likely. You know when it used to pop up on your iPhone, scam likely, that is exactly what
Yes.
it is.
Okay. So the next question that I want to ask you, what are some mental health issues from women that you've noticed that can go undiagnosed?
So certain things as far as anxiety, we write it off as just being stressed or worried, but in all actuality, it's anxiety. Also depression. Why is it missed? Because we feel like we have to keep functioning and we have to be perfect and we have to keep going within we say we don't have time to just take a break or woosah throughout the day, but really and truly, we're functioning within depression, right? And a lot of times people have normalize how to function within dysfunction. And in all actuality, it's dysfunction, but they are learning how to function within it only because that's become their norm. So also depression. Also, postpartum depression and anxiety after giving child, I mean, after the whole journey of childbirth, you have a few weeks and then you jump back into work. We got to go back to life as it was, but in all actuality, life is not what it is. You are not even the same person, right? But as women, we feel like we have to, be okay and normalize that we have to go back to what we were doing. But in all actuality, we're really experiencing, or some women may be experiencing, postpartum depression and anxiety. Also ADHD, right? We just said like, oh, I'm such an overthinker. Oh, I can't really focus on things. But in all actuality, it's hard for us to be present, what we were just talking about. It's hard for us to be attentive at work or in certain conversations, and only because a lot of times people, it goes undiagnosed from being a child because parents don't want their children to be on medication and they don't want them to become addicted. So therefore, it amplifies within going into adulthood. Right. Also, autism spectrum disorder. Actually, within a panel this past weekend at my event, she kind of talked about this and why is it missed? Because many women mask autism by just trying to maintain social behaviors, and it's mislabeled as just being shy and anxious and quirky. But in all actuality, it may be autism. Also, one other one that is very common is bipolar disorder. It's often missed because we just say women are moody, right? One time they're this, next minute they're mad, next minute they're sad. But in all actuality, it may be something as such as a borderline depression disorder, a personality disorder that is, giving them the urge, or they're not able to really stay in a certain mood because of the chemical imbalance that they may be experiencing.
Okay. Let me ask you this. When a mental health disorder has gone undiagnosed, how can that affect your overall health and
First
physical health?
thing first, you'll never feel okay. You'll always feel on edge because you know something isn't right. I hate the word normal because what is normal, especially in today's society?
Right.
But you know yourself. You know when something is off. So first thing first, you'll never be able to give your full self into anything, whether it be in your intimate relationships, personal relationship, work, caregiving, whatever, because you'll know that something isn't off. Also, I was talking so much. Can you repeat the
No, so I was asking when a mental health disorder goes undiagnosed, how that affects your overall physical health.
Yes. Okay. Also, when something is off, you don't have the energy, or you don't even feel like, those times where I don't feel like going to the gym, or I don't feel like meal prepping, which directly affects, what you're eating, because you may go the route of just going to get a 4 for 4 instead of, taking the extra time the night before to meal prep, but you didn't want to because you don't have the you're not you don't have the capacity to do so. You've checked out, you're burnt out, right? So it's a lot of different ways where if you don't properly address and treat the diagnosis, that it can affect your overall health and just ability to function within the day-to-day.
So that's actually a great segue into my next question for you, which is how do race, socioeconomic status, and cultural influence mental health care for women?
Directly. And based off, and because of that, it's the certain access to the care that's affected, and also the experiences with mental health care versus the access. So a lot of times, like I said earlier, you don't know, how do you know what you don't know if you don't know? And in certain communities, the mental health care is just not as prevalent as it may be in certain other communities, right? Or it's a certain shame or guilt that, maybe women of color may feel to get that access and help that they may need, because that you may be labeled as crazy, or you may be labeled as just incompetent of just, fulfilling motherhood duties if you go get the help, right? Or just within the household, it's never been a thing to talk about therapy. It's always been a sweep it under the rug and keep going, of certain traumatic experiences that the family played in it, just because that's always what we've been taught. That's what grandma told us, and that's what grandma's told us. And we just feel like we have to keep that same notion going. So race definitely plays a role in just certain access and experiences that, of their thoughts of just health in general.
So, I want to ask you, well, this will tie into a later question. I'll hold that.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. Can therapy play a role in prevention versus crisis?
Yes, absolutely. It's almost similar to going to a doctor for an annual checkup, right? When you go to therapy, it builds emotional resilience, right? It helps people understand what are their triggers and how to manage the stress before it escalates. It also strengthens your self-awareness, right? Clients learn how to effectively identify certain patterns in their behaviors that could lead to to problems down the line. Also, it just helps improve your overall relationships by working on your communication skills, your boundaries, and how to prevent certain personal and professional conflicts that could happen in your relationships. And also prepares you for certain life transitions that may happen, whether it be going into motherhood or about to get married within your couples therapy, or your mom passing away and learning how to deal with grief in itself, right? So therapy can definitely be a definite segue to benefiting overall health.
That's good. I like that you gave that example in terms of you gave a couple of examples. One, the passing of a loved one, like sometimes that's something that you're able to prepare for when you have forewarning from a medical professional that this person may be near the end of their life, but sometimes you don't. So I like that you gave that example in terms of help navigating grief, as well as preparation for a new chapter, such as something as a couple's counseling, or I imagine even if you're about to be a new parent,
Yes.
because that's a new human being that you're caring for, and it's also essentially a new title to your identity.
Yes. Life is never going to be the same as once before, because it's no longer just if it's just you and your partner, it's no longer just you and your partner. And this is the person that you're responsible for the rest of your life. So you have to learn how to transition that and just normalize certain things that you're experiencing within your body and also your mental that therapy can assist with or even give resources on.
Let me ask you this, because you've listed a lot of benefits to therapy, which I totally agree. Like I said, I've been in therapy and I'm on board with it. Personally, for relationships, well, as a family, whatever the case may be. There has always been a stigma around therapy,
Yes.
but I think we're slowly transitioning out of that, but I want your feedback on that as a licensed professional. So that's the first part to my question. But the second part to my question is, what advice would you offer to someone who is still hesitant to enter into therapy themselves?
Yeah. So I feel like we have made so many strides within today's society of just therapy in itself. We have a lot more people that's being open and just aware of the benefits of therapy, just like yourself. But, we have celebrities, we have athletes that are sharing their experiences. We have the increased coverage of teletherapy. Right? You see so many commercials of growth therapy, headway, so many different ones that makes it more accessible than feeling like you have to drive and be, fight traffic and things like that. It's a lot more accessible. And like I said earlier, I feel like COVID-19 really opened the door for the idea of, hey, we may need.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
People need some extra care and attention because they realized people were just sitting with their thoughts, their feelings, and their emotions, and they didn't know how to balance it, right? They didn't have any exposure with other individuals or things that keep them going. You know, we had the babies that, you know, were even being emotionally and verbally abused within the household, having to sit with that, and they didn't know how to really deal with their emotions because maybe school was their outlet. Being with their friends were their outlet. And so when you took away that, people had to sit with their feelings and emotions, and they realized, like, hey, we may need some help trying to manage this. This is not okay. So I definitely feel like COVID-19, as unfortunate as it was, did open the door for the conversation about therapy a lot, you know, than a lot more than what it was, as far as well as, like I said, you know, certain celebrities and just people being more open and aware about it. But of course, we still have more work to be done, just because there is still a fear of being judged as weak or broken or unstable, a guilt about, you know, just prioritizing their mental health and implementing boundaries because you are a mom and you feel like there shouldn't be any boundaries. I got to go all the way and more and further for my child, and there shouldn't be any boundaries, right? But in all actuality, there should be boundaries. We have people within, you know, work stigma, that if they speak out about certain complications that they're having at work, that they're incompetent and they can't fulfill their job duties. So there's still a lot of work to be done within that, because maybe they feel like, hey, I can't really speak up to my supervisor and say, hey, I'm having a tough time managing this, or, you know, keeping my attention on this, or I'm a little anxious doing this, because their boss may say, well, maybe you don't need to work here. And of course, living into today's society, who can survive without a paycheck, right? So they feel like they just have to try to keep it together and hold it together, and they're afraid to get the resources that they may need. So yes, that is my answer about the, you know, just where therapy has come since then. As far as my advice to people that are still kind of on the gap or trying to figure out if therapy, is for them, I always tell people, just try it out. You know, you try out a different food that you see. Everybody was going crazy about the chicken sandwich, remember, from Popeyes?
Yes.
You try out everything else. Why not try out therapy? You know, something that could be directly beneficial. You'll have a place where you can be completely safe and vulnerable to just be you. And you don't have to just figure it out by yourself. You can have someone that doesn't know you, that is not going to be your friend on social media and worry about if you're really keeping the image together or anything like that. You're just going to have someone that you can just be you with to just process different things within life. And like I said, it's not taken away from any family or friends, because some people be like, well, I got to go to a therapist and I can talk to your friend. Sometimes you need the actual professional guidance, because people only know what they know. Right. Your mom only taught you certain things because of what she knew. And that's not to say that she didn't do her job, or she could have did anything better, or she's the best at it. She did what she knew. But when you have someone that is a professional that's actually been trained to educate you on these certain topics, you learn a better way to navigate them, rather than just what your friend may tell you to just block them, or, you know, certain things like that. You have an actual expert to guide you through this path. That's not someone just telling you something that's like Wikipedia, where anybody can tell you anything. So I always say, just try it out. What do you have to lose? You know, we have those that offer certain free therapy sessions within their job. You have different consultations that you can get. I even offer a 15-minute free consultation that we can discuss, you know, where you ask the questions that where you can gauge if you feel like this is going to be beneficial or not. And just about all therapists offer that for at least 15 to 30-minute free consultation that you can see. I also heard that now people are utilizing ChatGPT as your therapist. And I do, please don't do that. Okay. If
Like,
anybody,
no.
please, ChatGPT is
No.
wonderful and they will give you some great feedback. But
Yeah.
safety reasons, that person is not going to, they're only going to know what you tell them. So your
Yes.
whole family dynamic of past trauma that make it be also influential about certain things that you're experiencing, they can't gauge that, right?
No.
So go and try therapy because what do you have to lose?
I love that you've emphasized that a couple of times just on what do you have to lose. And in my experience, it's something where you can lose your anxiety. You
Yes.
can have better help navigating and potentially losing your depression and just have better tools to navigate everyday life, as
Yes.
well as potentially find out if there are any undiagnosed mental disorders that you've been navigating.
Yes.
So I 100% agree, and I appreciate you sharing that with the listeners.
Yep. And I always tell people, don't get discouraged if you have to go through more than one therapist. I always tell people, finding a therapist is like finding someone to do your hair, right? You know exactly how you want it to look, how you want it to feel, and what your experience it should be like. And everybody is not for, one therapist is not a one size fits all, right? Find someone that directly aligns with your morals, your values. Because maybe people can play devil's advocate and say, well, I'll lose time within that because I don't have time to do that. But you make time for everything else, to keep scrolling on social media or to try a new restaurant or X, Y, and Z. Why not try something that could actually benefit you and consequentially alleviate some stress in certain areas or provide, certain guidance or resources, It's an investment.
I 100% agree. And with that, I actually wanted to ask you, because I know you mentioned working with your clients on like some self-care habits and whatnot. What are some small things that women can do daily to prioritize their mental health?
Yes. I always say you can just say no. Say no, set boundaries within your schedules. Understand that you do not have to be superwoman, superman. Okay. Like I said, creating routines so that you have at least a guide of what can go on or what should happen within your day-to-day. Finding your safe place or person, that's important. Knowing where your safe place is. Is it your home? Is it your car that you may need an extra 5 or 10 minutes in before you walk into the house? Or is it a certain person that you may just need to have on speed dial to call, right? Doing a 5 minute check-in with yourself can help, right? Before reacting, learn how to respond. So just doing a 5 minute check-in and be like, will this matter, within the next hour? Or next week, next month,
Very good.
right? Getting some vitamin D, just going outside, getting the sunlight, it directly affects and helps you. Drinking water, your just root your eating habits, your diet, realizing that, hey, we want to be here for the long run, Nowadays in society, you see people passing away at 20, 30. I just had a cousin that was diagnosed with cancer and she's 25. And that was uncommon when we were growing up. Usually it's just like you grow old and then you die or you pass away, right? But now it's not happening. Realize that you have to prioritize your health as far as your eating habits, your physical routine, that is important, right? Another thing is prioritizing sleep and rest, learning how to take a break and woosah, right? If you ask anybody that know me, they know I will take a nap. I am an advocate, and maybe I learned that within college, but I will take a nap, or I will just say, I need 30 minutes, or just realizing and saying, I don't have the capacity to deal with this. Even if a friend calls me, like, hey, can you? Right now, I just don't have it. Give me like 30 minutes, or let me call you back tomorrow. Like, understanding that it's okay to rest. Or my friends also know Friday nights. Dedicating a day that's just for you. Friday nights are my nights. Unless it's like a wedding or an actual event, I'm watching Olivia with SVU. SVU every Friday is a new episode. Like, that is my me time. That's my me moment. Friday evenings, right? Unless it's like
I
a
love that.
Big event or such that I feel like I can't miss. But finding a time and space that's just for you, right? Also, what we talked about earlier, letting go of perfectionism. It's a scam. It's not real. Understanding that it's okay to give yourself grace of not having it all together. And also, while you're extending grace to yourself, extend it to others. Just be kind. I tell people that all the time. Just be kind because you never know what other people are battling or dealing with within their day to day. You just never know.
So you said a lot that I love. Actually, I love everything that you said. But one thing you said that stood out to me was the capacity portion. Because one thing I'm learning is it's okay if my capacity doesn't match your capacity.
Correct.
And that could be in that season, that could be just who I am. But it's okay
Yes,
if
it is
you're,
okay.
yeah, if it's okay if you don't have your hands in everything. Or if you're someone that needs a daily nap, or if you're someone that prefers the shortened workout class over the hour
Yes.
and a half, like whatever your capacity is, that's your capacity.
Yes, I always say different strokes for different folks, and it's okay. It's okay. It does not mean you're weird, you're crazy. We all just have to figure out what works for us. Like I said, I am a napper. I nap, and I am not afraid to say it. If I have a break, if I have like a 2 hour break, I may catch me a 30-minute nap just to reset, recharge, right? My best friend is a Pilates girl. I am not. I don't like Pilates. It makes me realize that I have bones in places that I never knew I could have. That's not for me. But I love just to go walking. Walking is my thing, right? Or I love to just go to the gym and do like a quick class with my trainer. But I'm not a Pilates girl, and it doesn't mean that I'm weird or I'm not normal or anything like that. It just means it's not for me.
And that is okay.
Yeah,
You found your
it's okay.
rhythm. You're moving your body, the blood is
Yes.
flowing.
Yes.
Okay. I want to ask, what are your ideas for making mental health care more accessible as well as inclusive? And you're already doing the work within the community, so it's essentially going to be you expanding on that, I imagine.
Yes, well, I know what I'm about to say is above my pay grade and yours too, but mandating insurance coverage from the top, like
I love
making sure that mental health is included within certain insurance coverages, right? Where we are with that, I have no clue, but that man in the chair needs to make something happen within that arena, especially given that people are more stressed. Things are high. Eggs are expensive. I can't get over the price of eggs, right?
I know,
Gas is
girl.
still gas has still has come down a little bit, but it's still more work to do. So just mandating certain insurance coverages, right? Certain community health clinics, with certain trainings and just offering certain services and resources within the community. Continuing to build upon the teletherapy platform. I feel like people have it. You have people's attention. Let's continue to build upon it and make sure that it's accessible for everyone. Peer role models that are just being active and not gatekeeping, sharing your experiences, right? You never know who's looking up to you and who can benefit from your experience. No matter if it's not even just going to college, no matter if it's going off to the army and you sharing that with people, no matter if it's, if you went straight into the workforce after high school, sharing your experiences, that alleviates stress and directly affects how one may be able to manage their own mental health. Complications that they may be having, right? So just having more peer role models within the community. What else did I say? I like to make note that mental health is not a one size fits all type of ordeal. Like we just talked about, what works for you, Jessica, may not work for me, right? And that's just because I'm Sam, you're Jessica. And so everyone just doing their own part in their own ways, like. What you're doing right now is a direct thing of addressing the issue, right? Although it may not be providing direct services as I am, but you're providing a platform where people can gain knowledge and resources of how to deal with these things. While I'm on the front line, maybe providing these services, we have teachers that also play a direct role of, you know, just managing and caring for children as far as education within the classroom. So everyone just realizing that I have a part too, and I can do something to help everyone's health, and not just physical health, but mental health as well.
Love that.
Yeah.
And so I also wanted to ask you, and this is probably an expansion of what you just shared with us, but are there any resources that you really favor that you'd like to share with the listeners for accessibility to mental health?
Yeah, so even if you maybe aren't able to, if you're not ready to go to therapy, I am a podcast girly. I promise you I am. I love Sarah Jake Roberts, The Woman Evolved. That's my girl. But even if you don't like to go that route of, you know, religious based, there's so many different apps that just give you certain daily affirmations to help keep you going, uplifted, motivated throughout the day. Certain books, I mean, on Amazon, there's a plethora of different, even affirmation cards. I actually purchased one the other day. And basically what you do is you pull a card each day. And within the card, it may say to keep in mind one thing that made you happy all day. Or it just gives you different things to take within your day to day, right? So it's so many different resources, whether it be on Amazon, certain, you know, cards and posters, books. I actually wrote two books. I wrote a children's book. It's called Johnny Goes to Therapy. So it's about a little boy named Johnny. He's going to the third grade. He's just returning from summer break. And over the summer break, he gained weight. Johnny is deemed as fat by his classmates. So what does that mean? He's bullied. They're calling Johnny's fat. Johnny's stupid. Johnny is, you know, just weird. What happens to Johnny after that? Johnny he becomes depressed. He's not able to function within the day to day. He is failing. He doesn't want to engage with anyone, even parents at home. He doesn't want to eat. He's trying to starve himself from, you know, eating because people are calling him fat. And so his teacher recommends him to therapy. And Johnny realizes that he has a therapist that's not out to get him. He sees a friend in his therapist, and they work through certain issues, and he gains his confidence, and he comes back to school and he faces his bullies. So different children's books just like that. I also have a self-help book. It's called Uncovering Toxic Journeys, short stories to let you know you're not alone. And it's just on different topics that, as women, we don't talk about out loud. I actually came out about my sexual abuse within the book that occurred, and just giving certain tips of certain people that may be survivors of things of such, even as from suicide, or certain tips of how to navigate friendships and relationships that may be toxic, kind of unpacking the word narcissism. I know everyone is saying that's a buzzword, but how to deal with the narcissism, certain tips and resources. So both of those books are on Amazon and as well as Walmart.com. But certain things like that, I always recommend to my clients and other individuals.
Well, I just want to say thank you for your willingness to share some of your testimony. I'm really sorry that you experienced that and that you were violated in that way. And I also want to tell you that I'm really sorry to hear that about your cousin and her diagnosis. So
yes, thank you.
I'll be keeping her in prayers, and we'll just be believing for miraculous healing for her. So
thank you for saying that. I genuinely appreciate that.
Yeah. So I have a couple more questions for you.
Okay.
The last one in regarding this topic. Do you have a mental health mantra?
Yes. Now, I probably said it like 5 times already, but my favorite thing is, it's okay not to be okay. And meaning you don't have to hold it all together. You don't have to be okay. There is no such thing as normal. It's okay not to be perfect. It's literally okay not to be okay. Because sometimes we feel like we have to be okay. When someone responds, we have to say, when they say, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. And every time someone says that, when I ask them, how are they doing? I say, okay, well, name three things that are good. And oftentimes my clients stumble. They can't find three things that are good because that's just normalized for you to repeat and say. So I tell clients, you don't have to tell me three things that are good. It's okay. I wanted to unpack that to realize that you don't always have to be okay. It's okay not to be okay. It's okay not to be good or, oh, I'm great, or I'm all right. You can easily say today's not the best day, but tomorrow will be, right? So that is my all-time favorite mantra, that it's okay not to be okay.
I lied. I have another question.
It's
What
okay.
helped you? This just came up on the dome. What helped you get to the point with accepting not being okay?
Just educating myself. And because a lot of times I always say, first thing first, ignorant is not a bad thing. Ignorant just means that you don't know. And a lot of us are just ignorant. We don't, like I said, we don't, how do you know what you don't know if you don't know? So just educating myself and realizing that, hey, I'm not alone. And within this thing we call life, we're all going through this journey. We're all trying to do the best we can, how we can. And I just realized, you know what? I have to really give myself grace because what is normal? There's not such, I'm not like you, Jessica. You're not like me. And you are a beautiful inside and out. And that's okay if I don't appear the same shade as you, or my texture, my hair texture is not like yours. And that's where I just said, you know what? I'm okay to embrace who I am. And just the confidence realm within therapy, honestly, where I just learn more about myself and learn to embrace that I don't have to be defined by what I experience. I can define who I am in current day of just certain changing my behaviors and patterns and routines.
That, ladies and gentlemen, was her super soul moment. I love that. And for anyone who is listening to the audio recording and not watching the visual on YouTube, but you need to subscribe to the YouTube channel Style by Jessica Warren, so you can see the visuals. She is obviously very beautiful inside and out, but I even more beautiful all the wisdom and knowledge that you have
Thank
shared with
you.
us.
Thank you so much.
So, the title of the podcast is Style and Conversation. And
Yes.
I always like to close out by asking my guests one style related question. So we're currently in a new season of spring, and one of the amazing things about spring, it's like an awakening. The flowers are blooming. We have new pieces to look forward to. So I wanted to ask you, what is your favorite spring beauty look?
So, I am learning that I am a color block girly. I love the color blocking ordeal. Like, love it. Lighter shades of green to a darker shade of green. I love it. I don't know what it is about color blocking, but I love color blocking. I'm also a big, I love a big brooch, I mean, a cute brooch to just go. I feel like you could throw on a brooch with a white shirt and some jeans and it'd be like just it. I love a brooch. Also, what else? I'm a crop top girly.
Me too.
And I just feel like, what is an outfit without a crop top? Like, or even like a bodysuit, right? Love it. That's my go-tos within spring.
I agree with you on all that, but what really stood out to me is the brooch. I love a good brooch. It's
What? I'm
so
surprised I don't
like,
have one on today. But yes, I love a
I
brooch.
love it. It's such like grown woman
Very
in my like,
demure.
I'm mature era. Love a good brooch.
Love a brooch. It
I have
gets
to be
very
honest, I
demure.
don't own any, and I, you know what, that's something I need to invest in. But one of my best friends is big on brooches, and
Yes.
I always admire them on other people. I love a good brooch.
Yeah, it just adds to the look. Literally, it can be like I said, a white collared shirt. You add a brooch on there, it's in you with some jeans or a skirt, you have a whole fit. It just gives very
You really do.
classy, like very
Okay, so
demure, very
then
together.
With that, what is your favorite brooch in your collection right now?
I am a Louis Vuitton girl.
Have
So,
too many things in common.
yes, I love a just cute LV type of ordeal. It's just very simple, but it adds such a pop. So, I just have, and I'm also a gold girly. I'm not a silver girly unless it's just pure diamonds, but I have so many LV just brooches just sitting around. And they even have some that are like colorful and with the different colors within it that you can just add and it matches your outfit. I love it.
I love it. Okay, so now is your time. You've mentioned that you've written two books, so don't be shy on us.
Yes.
Tell the listeners all the things, the titles of your books, self-published. I just want to give you that plug. The titles of your books, if you have any upcoming events or projects that you want to highlight, where everyone can find you. And I do want to reiterate that Dr. Sam is licensed to practice in the state of Georgia as well as South Carolina. Is that correct?
Yes. It's soon
Yes.
to be North Carolina as well, but yes.
Oh, okay. Come
We
on,
racking
add
them
a
up. We
state.
racking them up, girl.
Racking them up, honey. Come on, let's get this mental health together in these three states, honey. Okay,
Yes.
so tell everyone all the things where they can find you, your book titles, upcoming projects.
Yes. So you can find me on Instagram. It's hidden, HIDDEN 2TO healing. So hidden to healing. That's the name of my private practice. You can find me on Instagram. My personal is The Real Janae. Janae is my middle name. And that's The Real Janae, Janae. On You can also visit us on my website, hiddentohealing.com. And within that, we have the links to each of my books, which is one is called Johnny Goes to Therapy, which is on Walmart and Amazon, and also Uncovering Toxic Journeys, short stories to let you know you're not alone. That is also on Amazon, where you can find it. What else? Yeah, I provide services here in Georgia, also South Carolina, and also soon to be North Carolina next week. Don't cross my fingers on that. I'm available for any trainings, workshops, any speaking engagements. I also love author visits, even if it's just to read a book to at a certain community event that you're having. I do that a lot at certain schools. Love to do those. As far as the any events, my biggest event was Mental Health and Mimosas that I just finalized. I wanted to make sure that was in Mental Health Awareness Month. But that will be an annual event that happens every year. This year was the first. And I also do a host of other events that I frequently just post. This upcoming Friday, I'm going to give a Starbucks giveaway. So anyone, I'll have a large amount, and any and everyone will be able to just scan the barcode at Amazon to just have a drink on us in honor of Mental Health Awareness Month, just to show that we, as a private practice, prioritize mental health, and we want to make sure that, everyone gains the exposure to just have a good day and a drink on us.
Well, I cannot wait to see everything that you have ahead of you and all of your dreams just blossom. And I'm not worried about you with North Carolina that's coming. I'm sure you have many other states that you plan on becoming licensed in, which is amazing because I know you are going to have many listeners reach out to you after hearing this episode. I want to thank you for your willingness to share not just your wisdom, but also your personal stories with us in this episode and the work you're doing in the community with all of your patients, but particularly for women and Black women. And I just thank you for joining us.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me. It's an honor, to just share a space with you and share my time. It's never a burden for me. I love women. I'm pro woman. I love our Black women, and I want us all to be great. I want us all to win, and as long as we each one and reach one and teach one, we can do just that. So I'm always here and available if you need me anytime, Jessica.
Same. We're going to talk offline about some ways to connect, especially since we're both in Atlanta. So,
Yes.
yeah. Well, with that, I can't think of a better way to close out this episode. So, Style Crew, we will be back next Thursday as we continue this series for Women's Health Month. And we'll see you next week. And don't forget to rate, follow, subscribe, share it with a friend. And thank you for your continued support. And we'll talk soon.
Yeah.
Hey, Style Crew, make sure you're keeping up with our podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, as well as the Podcast Index. And if you'd like to view the podcast visually, check out my YouTube channel, Styled by Jessica Lauren.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou. You to access affordable doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com apply.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holidayinstall to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous US only.